Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. And I'll read verse 10. You join me on verse 11 and every other verse down through verse 19. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding on. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out mine hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, then, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls? But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Therefore hear ye, nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. My message title tonight is taken from that very last verse, where it talked about the fruit of their thoughts. The fruit of their thoughts. And our Heavenly Father, we simply ask now that you would choose to meet with us. Once again, teach us from your word. May we be strengthened because of the word of God, which says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And may our lives be touched and changed and challenged because of the preaching of the word of God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And of course, you may be seated. The fruit of their thoughts, an interesting passage, I think, of what we just now read. I want you to listen very, very carefully as I give you an introduction to this entire thing. It has been said, you have to forgive my eyes right now, are watering terribly. Now I'm going to be lucky if I can, I'll be lucky if I can get through reading what I have written down. So you just listen as carefully as you can. I'll do my best to see what I'm saying. It has been said that if man can think it, a man can do it. And this can be both positive and it can be as well as negative all at the same time. And much good has come because of good thoughts. When I think about good thoughts, I think about Proverbs 21 and verse 5, which gives a positive and the negative, and where it says, The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. So there you have positive thinking and negative thinking, biblical thinking and unbiblical thinking. It is true that what you think about determines how you're going to live. Maybe not a truer statement has ever been said, though other statements have been said that are just as true. Every evil plan and on every evil man has ever had started out as a thought, when you think about that. God addressed the thinking of a man. And this is how the archangel Lucifer fell from heaven in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. We read in the Word of God, For thou hast said in thine heart, Lucifer never spoke out loud in this passage. He said it in his heart. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The Bible says he said it in his heart. He said it in his heart. And we understand that to be thoughts. God warned his people through the prophet Jeremiah that he was going to bring about a great calamity on the people that would be the result of what they were thinking. I can prove that once again from the last verse, verse 19, where he said, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts." Even the fruit of their thoughts. Thoughts are very, very important. And thoughts produce fruit, according to this verse. They produce fruit. Whatever that fruit is, it is the product of a man's thinking. And God knows that if a man can think it, he will more than likely do it. Let me say it again. God knows that if a man can think it, he more than likely will do what he's thinking. And God said just as he promised, God did just as he promised and brought a great calamity upon the people. And these are the facts. I've written down three of them. Listen carefully. There was a time in Israel's history when they followed hard after God. We understand that strictly from Scripture. We know that God's people followed God, and they followed Him with the whole heart at one time. But when they left God out, their thinking changed. And for 490 years, they left out, can I just put it in modern terms, they left out going to church. They left out the Sabbath for 490 years. You leave God out of your life for any length of time, it's going to change your life. And that's exactly what happened here. And they did not observe the Sabbath for those 70 years. For 490 years, they missed all of that. And after a short period of time, their thinking completely changed. They left God out of their thoughts. God was not in all their thoughts, you see. And they began to justify their wrongdoing, and they were involved in all kinds of wickedness. And by the time 490 years had passed, they no longer, hear me now, they no longer recognized that they were doing wrong. You leave God out of your life for a long period of time, you're going to change your thinking. You're going to change your morals. You're going to change the difference between right and wrong. You begin to justify that which is wrong and to reject that which is right. There was something that changed in their thinking. They left God out and replaced Him with other things. And their sin led to a lifestyle that brought down the very judgment of God upon them. And for 70 years, they were enslaved by ungodly people. Sin will always enslave you. They started leaving God out of their worship. They started saying it wasn't important anymore. And as I learned a long time ago, if you can take it or leave it, you'll leave it. And that's exactly what they did. And from this particular truth, when I think about this, their thinking changed. God brought this judgment upon them for 70 years, and they were taken captive by an ungodly people. 70 years, yeah, God got back all of His Sabbaths, every one of them, by bringing judgment upon His people. So I want to give you some lessons from that, things that we can learn. And I want us to be able to learn from what the Word of God says. First of all, if you're taking notes, number one, thoughts can produce evil actions. Thoughts can produce evil actions. Satan thought it in his heart, and he fell from heaven. He became proud of who he was. He became proud of what he was. He became proud of how he looked. He became proud of himself. You know, the Bible describes him as probably the most beautiful creature that God had ever created, as an archangel, the one who was in charge of all the worship in heaven. He was the archangel. He was the anointed cherub, so to speak, as the Bible calls him. And he was the one that flew around the throne with his other angels around him, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, closest to the throne of God." But he got proud of who he was. The Bible says his body was filled with musical instruments. I don't understand how that was. But if you're in charge of worship, which involves music, his body was like a musical instrument. And he was a beautiful creature. And he is mistaken as an angel of light. We just passed through the time of what we call Halloween down here. And people came to our house, and as you know, what a night it was. 700 bags of candy, 700 gospel tracts in the bags of candy, and then 200 more gospel tracts went to adults. What a time we had getting the gospel and telling everybody that came to our door that God loved them and that there was a way of salvation. And we had a time with it. But I would ask them, "And what are you?" I am a princess witch. I am a devil. I am this. I am that. The devil was none of those things. He's an angel of light. You can't tell the difference between him and something evil because he is so beautiful. And he's invaded so many things. Satan thought it in his heart. He fell from heaven. He became proud of who and what he was. And before he knew it, iniquity, the Bible says, was found in him. Eve, having been influenced by Lucifer, saw the forbidden fruit. And I don't know if it was an apple. I don't think it was. I don't think that fruit exists anymore. And as far as that goes, and as far as Eve, she was beguiled by the devil. And he denied what God had said, got her to believe what he said. And a terrible thing in the end of the story is the fall of the human race into sin. And as I was reviewing my notes this morning for what I was going to preach tonight, immediately Romans 5:12 came to mind. And so I wrote down the reference where the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is none righteous, no, not one, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not," you see. And like when Joseph's brothers thought to do evil unto him, and they and brought their thoughts into fruition by casting Joseph into a pit, selling him into slavery, and lying to their father about the whole thing. It all started as a thought. They blamed it on Joseph, but I have to be honest and say it wasn't Joseph's fault. That fault was not found in him. It was found in them. When I think about that, I think about how the Word of God makes it so clear. Again, Proverbs 21 and verse 5, the Word of God says, "The thoughts of everyone that is hasty is only to want." And so we understand that thoughts can produce evil actions. Say, well, it's only thought. It really truly is the thought that counts. Because our thoughts can bear fruit, and part of that fruit is doing evil actions if we are not careful. Number two, if you're taking notes, thoughts can produce good acts. Thoughts can produce good acts. Proverbs 21 and verse 5, again, the Word of God says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness." So yes, your thoughts can produce bad things, but the Word of God makes it very clear that thoughts can produce good things as well. Many good things have come about from many good thoughts that people have had. And many inventions that help mankind have come from a single thought. I wonder if I can harness electricity. We have light bulbs. And think about that. I wonder if I can make a camera that will preserve a photograph, and we have cameras. I wonder if we can transmit radio waves and broadcast around. Yes, all those things came from a single thought that somebody had. And often I have looked at some of the inventions of today that we enjoy day by day. It came about because somebody had the thought of it, and they built something positive that has been good for mankind. Many inventions that help mankind have come from a single thought, and they're called ideas, and the thoughts of a righteous man, the Bible says, they tend toward good things. Why? Because it all started as our thoughts. I've talked Wednesday night, I talked about meditation, rumination, taking the Word of God and thinking about it over and over and over again. It's not how much Bible you read that makes you a good Christian, it's how much Bible you apply, and you can do that sometimes by simply applying one verse. I'm always, and I mention it more often than probably that I should, but I think about Dr. Tom Malone, who's now in heaven, and a preacher boy asked him one day how much Bible he read every day, and he said, "I read my Bible until my heart burns." I thought about that. That's life-changing. That means it could only be one verse, one paragraph, one chapter in a Bible. It doesn't have to be the entire Bible. Meditating on those things can bring about good things. You see, so thoughts can produce bad things, bad actions. Secondly, thoughts can produce good actions. Thirdly, thoughts come from the mind. And you might say, "Preacher, that's kind of elementary, isn't it? Thoughts come from the mind." Yeah, that probably could go without being said. But thoughts have to have a beginning. They have to start somewhere. Maybe in the vanity of a person's mind, maybe in the concentration of a person's mind, but they come from the mind, and thoughts don't float through the air and land on someone's head. You know, you'd be sitting in a room and all of a sudden this thought just floats over your head and lands on you and you got this idea. No, they come from inside. The Bible talks about what's on the inside, and often that will come to the outside. Thoughts have a beginning, and that beginning is called the mind. Which brings me to point number four, which means the mind has got to be conditioned properly. The mind has got to be conditioned properly. And the only way something can enter into your mind is by one of your five senses, or more than one. The devil can't put anything in your mind because he does not have the ability to read your mind. The Bible says in two places that God alone knows the hearts of men, which means the devil can't read your mind. But he's been working with mankind for a few thousand years, so he knows mankind. And he knows the gateway to your mind. The five senses, what are they? Sight, smell, touch, taste, and hearing. Those are the only gates he has to get into your mind. If you see something, or smell something, or touch something, or taste something, or hear something, that gets into your mind. All of you have been here. Listen, you all know, I remember when I was in Bible college, my very first semester up in Minnesota. And I remember the laundry room. And right now, to this day, if I smell a certain laundry detergent, my mind immediately goes to that laundry room. I can see the color of the paint. There was even a candy machine there that sold that sold beer nuts. Boy, did I feel guilty in Bible college buying beer nuts. It has nothing to do with beer. And I found that I loved them. But I see the machine right now sitting over to the left side of me. And I remember that in that room, there was also a ping pong table. But that's the smell of a detergent. Many of you, maybe you have a past, we all have a past of listening to things in the music world that perhaps we should not have listened to. Robin and I were driving down to Southern Colorado one day and a commercial came on the radio and I immediately said 1968, named the album and started quoting the song. And I remembered it. All I had to do was hear the first measure of that song on the radio as a commercial. And I remembered it. And the truth of the matter is, if the devil can get into our minds, it's not because he puts something in our minds. He uses something to get into our minds. And it might be something you see. It might be something you smell. It might be something you touch. It might be something you taste. It could be something that you hear. That's his only avenue. And I would just dare anybody to prove that differently, because the Word of God says it's only God that can know your mind. It's only him. And by the way, why don't psychics win the lottery? Hello? They supposedly know the future. Why can't they win the lottery? It's because they're fakes, or they're instruments of Satan himself. And he knows mankind, but he cannot put anything in your mind and he cannot read your mind. When I was in college, my very first semester, I'll never forget it. There was a guy that was there before he got saved. He was involved in satanic worship and he became a satanic priest. And he said, this was up in Minnesota. He said, and I could read people's minds. I know now that he was a liar, because he couldn't read their minds. Because God alone knows the hearts of men. The devil cannot know it. And the Bible says, for example, when you're praying, it says you go into your closet and close the door and God hears you what? In secret. That means the devil can't hear. If you've closed the door, and that's a whole nother sermon on its own, how to close the door in prayer so the devil can't hear you pray. But when you close the door, only God is listening, if you're hearing what I'm saying right now. The Bible makes it clear, Proverbs 23 and verse 7, it says this, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now let me show you something about that verse. It's talking about what you put into your heart, as a man thinketh into his heart. Because your heart doesn't think. It doesn't have the ability to think. It's a muscle. And in our emotions, the only way that you can have something go into your heart and into your emotions and into your thoughts is through your five senses. So as a man thinketh something into his heart, so is he. What you allow through your eyes, what you allow through your ears, what you allow through your touch, what you allow through your taste, what you allow through your smelling, all of that. A man's trying to give up smoking. He walks by a smoke shop. You ever smelled a smoke shop? I remember when I was a kid, we'd drive down to Tennessee. We'd be right there on the interstate. And you get down into Kentucky, and you got all these up and down hills on the interstate. And all the time, you'd see these tobacco barns over to the left as you were driving. And boy, you could smell the tobacco as it would be curing in those barns. My grandfather had a tobacco barn. My Papa Parton had a tobacco barn. Boy, did it smell good and smelled sweet. But if a person's trying to give up smoking, that's one of the worst things he can walk into, is to smell the smell of that. My dad used to smoke a pipe. He smoked some sweet-smelling tobacco. He didn't do the Prince Albert in a can. That was my grandfather who smoked Prince Albert in a can. My dad smoked the sweet stuff, the Borkum Riff and the Cherry Blend and all those different things, and they smelled so good. But if you're trying to give that up, you don't need to be exposing your nose to it. You see what I'm saying? And that means that you have to be careful what you think into your heart, because your thoughts will turn into actions, and every man will live outwardly in time what he thinks inwardly. My mom got sick and she passed away. She had a couple of heart attacks in a row, and she had two of her brothers there. One of her brothers had quit smoking, just totally quit smoking. The other one smoked all the time, just a chain smoker, all the time. And one day, sitting in the hospital, as my mom was in her hospital bed, the one who smoked looked at the one who had given it up and said, "Just go outside for a smoke." And they both went outside, and the one that had given up cigarettes took them back up again. They got through to him, because as a man thinketh into his heart, so is he. You can condition your mind by filling it with the things of the world or the things of God. And to condition your mind properly, you gotta fill your mind with the proper things. And I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about what the Bible gives us as an answer to this. For example, filling your mind with the Word of God. Psalm 119, 9 and 11. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart." What does it say after that? "That I might not sin against thee." Every Sunday morning we do our pledges, and one of our pledges is to the Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I, what? Might not sin against God. You put the right things in, as Bill Harvey wrote many years ago about rearing children, you put the right things in them, then one day they will show up. Not only the Word of God, but the music of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." The right kind of music. I filled my life with the wrong kind of music. You know my testimony. You know what my plans were, to be a rock and roll DJ. You know that. You know that I had a record collection. Remember records, those great big CDs that play at 33 and a third RPMs on a turntable. Yeah, I had a music collection that would not quit, and worked in a radio station from my high school. But I tell you what, I filled myself with the wrong kind of music. And as one man said one time, if you've got good rock and roll music, you don't need drugs. And boy, was he right. I said a while ago, I'm like a jar of Prego spaghetti sauce. Ladies and gentlemen, it's in there. And I got to be honest and say, I have to suppress it because it's still there. Maybe you don't want to hear that testimony about your pastor, but I'm just being honest with you. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Fill yourself with good godly music, and also the people of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ." Oh, how proud this generation of Christians is today. "I'll not be a people follower. I'll not get someone's signature in my Bible. I'm not a people follower. I'm a Jesus follower." Boy, that really sounds spiritual, doesn't it? But what did Paul say two times in his writings? "You follow me as I'm following Christ." And may I quote Roger Carr once again, who's now in heaven? "I'll follow the pastor as long as the pastor follows the master." That's what Paul was writing. We need Christian examples to follow. And there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, and these silly people today that if they do get a signature in the Bible, they want it done in pencil. Just in case that man or that woman falls into sin, they can erase their name out of the Bible. How silly and how foolish that is. Amazing thing. Just because a person, one fella, he knew of a fella that fell, and he fell pretty hard in sin. He had his books and he had his tapes and all the rest of it. He told me one day to my face, he said, "I threw all of it away." I said, "I wish you would have called me." He said, "Why?" I said, "I would have taken those things off of you. That'd be fine." And I said, "Well, he fell into sin. He did this, he did this, he did this. And yes, he was guilty of every one of those things." I said, "Well, while you're at it, why don't you throw the books, first five books of the Bible out? And while you're at it, why don't you throw out the book of Proverbs? And while you're at it, why don't you throw out most of the book of Psalms?" And he looked at me and he said, "I never thought about that." My next sentence is, "Well, that's your problem. You never thought about that. A man makes a mistake does not negate everything good that he's ever done." And by the way, that man is doing just fine today and doing very well. And I wish that pastor would have given me all this guy's stuff. I would have been happy to take it. I really would have. So I said, the words of God to condition your mind, the word of God, the music of God to condition your mind, the people of God to condition your mind, and lastly, the things of God. The Bible says in Romans 14, 19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which makes for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." So you fill your heart and your mind with the right things. They're going to show up. And there are many words, but not all are God's word. Stick with the Bible. That book you've got there, don't let it be the last resource you run to. Let the Bible be the first resource you run to. There's a lot of music in the world, but not all the music comes from God. Stick with godly music. Wasn't it Barry Manilow that sang the song many years ago? "I write the songs that make the whole world sing." You know, who was in charge of music in heaven? It was Lucifer. Did he know he was singing about the devil's power with music? I don't know. I've never heard him testify. I know what Christians have said. I don't know exactly. But when he said, "I write the songs," he says, "I am music and I write the songs." Lucifer was in charge of the songs in heaven. And not all music is godly. That's for sure. There are many people, but not all people have a godly influence in your life. Follow after the godly. Save the hero seat for the godly. Save the hero seat for the godly. And by the way, I don't have a bit of problem saying so-and-so is one of my heroes in the Christian faith. So-and-so has been my dad was my hero. My dad was not a perfect man. My dad was he could be just as worldly as anything, but my dad got his life turned around in so many ways over the latter years. He got saved the night after I did. And my dad was one of my heroes. He's one of my mentors. My dad was one of my counselors. But not all people are the right influence in your life. And there are many things in the world, but not all things make us better Christians. You've got to stick with the things of God. That's my advice to us tonight. Now, why is it so important? And with this, I'm going to bring the message to a close. But why is it so important that we discipline our minds? Why is it so very, very important? An undisciplined mind, they say, an idle mind is the devil's playground. That's not exactly accurate. But the truth of the matter is, we have to have a conditioned mind because our thinking is going to determine our living. And James said this. It's one of these verses in the Bible that when you get a hold of it and it gets a hold of you, it changes you. In James chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "But every man is tempted." That's the truth. But every man is tempted. If that was the end of the verse, that would be really all we needed to hear. But that's not the end of the verse. It says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." A lot of people, they get on their knees, if they get on their knees, and they start to pray, "Oh, dear Heavenly Father," and suddenly their mind is filled with wrong thoughts and maybe things that they should never entertain. And the first thing they do is say, "Get thee behind me, Satan!" Never works, because it's not the devil. It's you. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, as the Bible says. His own lust. Not the devil. his own lust and enticed. So your mind will continue to think the things that you allow into it. So be careful what you put into your mind. And this is why we are commanded in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, a verse that is very important to all of us. And this is what it says about, we sang the song tonight, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately and joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Listen to this verse. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's our responsibility to do. To cast down the wrong thoughts and bring our thoughts into obedience to Christ. Thoughts produce fruit, and the fruit that is seen in the lifestyle and then seen in judgment or blessing for that thought. God said to his people, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. That's how it's only a thought. Not according to the Bible. It may be only a thought, but it might be a seed thought that produces fruit. And all of our thoughts produce fruit. How do I know that? Because the Bible said so. As we read in Jeremiah tonight, in chapter 6 and verse 19, it simply said about our fruit that comes from our thinking. You've got to think right. Where's a good place to start? This is not in my message tonight, but let me just give you a reference, okay? Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. And it gives you an entire list of good things to think on if you're having a problem with your thought life.